Chapter 11, and starting from verse 1.
Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, Should not the multitude of words be answered, and should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace, and when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed?
Now here is the third person. The three friends came. His name is Zophar the Naamathite. Now, Zophar the Naamathite is coming from Edomite. And Edomite people came from Esau. So now, these three people were there, and this Zophar was listening to Job and other people. He was listening, and right now, he got a little bit mad because what Job said. If you remember, in the last chapter, Job was saying in the last sentences, he was saying, I like darkness. I like to die. I want to go in a deep dark. There be light will be darkness. And he said, Lord, leave me alone and I want to be in peace. He didn't understand where the darkness is. The kingdom of darkness is belong to the devil. So the people who like darkness more than the light, it's not a good idea. We are the children of the light. So here he is saying to Job, he's saying, you talk too much. If you remember, he talked in the last chapter, two chapters continuously. Job is in pain, in suffering. He is talking, forget the pain and talk, talk, talk. So he says, you are talking too much, and you're thinking if you talk too much, people will be thinking you are a good man or you have wisdom or something like that. But you are talking, and too much talking will not make you a just man. Your talking will not make you the righteous man. He says, you are lying. The things you are saying something is a lie. And because of that, we cannot hold the peace and don't say anything. You are even mocking God, mocking us, mocking God. And when we're sitting here and listening, somebody has to answer to you. Because you are making us ashamed that we don't have any wisdom to talk. So he said, I decided to talk to you. Verse 4.
For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes.
He says, I heard that you are talking, I am so pure, I am holy, I am blameless, and I am righteous, and all of these things I heard. And so he's saying, there is not a single man righteous, single man is holy, and you are claiming to be holy, and that is a lie. And he start from the beginning taunting the Job. Now if somebody comes and gives you comfort, and instead of comfort try to harass you and saying bad about you, you're not going to listen. Even though you wanted to listen to him, but this man shut him off. Means he said, you are a liar, you are not a good man, and you are claiming to good man, and you are talking too much, but your talking will not justify that you're a righteous man. Verse 5.
But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee.
Now he says, I would think that God will talk to you. And he didn't say open his mouth, but he's saying he will just open his lips and he will talk. That means God can even whisper to you. God can talk to you and make sense to you because you are not understanding God. You are just trying to blame God, and God is sitting there and doing nothing. But I think God should talk to you and you will understand. Verse 6.
And that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth.
He is saying, I hope that you would know the wisdom of God, the secret of God. God is so mighty. God is so powerful. And God is not punishing you according to your sin. God is still gracious to you, and you don't understand God. Because you are saying whatever comes to you in your mouth, and you are talking about God, and God is silent. But if God starts talking to you, God will punish you more. But God is good. That's what he's trying to say. Verse 7.
Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea.
Now he says, if you search God, you will understand how God is. He says, God's knowledge and God's wisdom is greater or higher than the heavens, deeper than the hell. He says, God is so powerful, God's wisdom is so great, but you don't understand. If you start measuring the earth, his wisdom is greater than that. If you start looking at the sea, his wisdom is wider and broader than the sea. So he says he is greater than his wisdom and knowledge and his secrets and his wonders are more than you can understand. So he said, I'm advising you, why don't you seek God? If you understand God, then you will be not talking against God. That's what he is trying to give him advice. Verse 10.
If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him?
He says God has the power to cut the people, to shut the people, or put them in hell. Whatever he wants to do, he can do. Who are you questioning God? If God does something, we have no control. So he says God is so powerful, you should understand God. Verse 11.
For he knoweth vain men, he seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt.
Now he says, he's talking generally, giving advice about the vain man, but he's saying, you are the vain man. You have no brain. You are not talking the things about wisdom. You are fool. You don't have understanding. Let me tell you an example. There's a donkey is the animal, is the worst kind of animal, means it doesn't have too much brain. And he says if some donkey give the birth to the mankind, it's impossible. But if he gives the birth to the mankind, that man will be fool, not more than the donkey is fool. So he says you are that kind of person, and nobody can make the foolish man wise, or the foolish man can have wisdom just like a donkey. Even though he produced mankind, they will still be foolish. Verse 13.
If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him.
Now he said, because of that, I'm telling you, your foolishness keep aside, your vanity keep aside, and think what you're doing. You're doing sin. And your work is sinful. So he said, what you should do, you should prepare your heart to meet the Lord and stretch your hands towards God and worship God. Instead of blaming God, instead of talking against God and mocking God, why don't you lift up your hands and praise God and worship God? Something good will happen. Verse 14.
If iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles.
He says, the wickedness, the iniquity, the wickedness is in your hand. That means you are doing wicked things. Why don't you give this wickedness, throw it out, and make your house cleanse? That means you should not be doing anything yourself. It says tabernacle. Actually, tabernacle is a dwelling place or living place. He said, you iniquity, take it away, put it away, far away. Some of the advice he's giving is a good advice. There are people, godly people, but in their house, is sinful activities going on. They are watching soap operas. They are watching scare movies. They are watching something which is not good. They are reading the horrible books. They have different kinds of songs and music in their house. Their children and their grandchildren are not living right. And all these things happening in the house. He said, cleanse your house. Cleanse your house so that God can bless you. In your house, if there is an idol, even though it's not yours, maybe somebody lived before you and they had the idol, and you took it as a souvenir and keeping in your house, you are inviting enemy to come to your house. Or the dirty books or dirty tapes or dirty music comes in your house, if you're not doing, your children or your grandchildren doing it, and you're not saying anything, you are defiling your house. So he said, why don't you cleanse your house? Why don't you cleanse your dwelling place? Then something good can happen. Verse 15.
For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear.
Then he said, you will be able to lift up your hands, lift up your own face. You will be able to see God. Because right now you have sin. And when person commits sin, you can see their faces. They're gloomy. They're angry. They're frustrated. But once you are a joyful person and thanking God and glorifying God, you can lift up your hands and look at God and feel free in your spirit. He said, that's what is going to happen. And when you do that, God will not see any spot or any wrinkle in your face. That means you will have courage to look at God. Read the 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Here it says, if your heart doesn't condemn you, then you have confidence towards God.
For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things.
What do you do? Don't run away from God. Go to God. God has created your heart. God is the only can fix your heart. Don't run away and go to God, because God is greater than your heart. So your heart is created by God. Go to God and he will fix it. Verse 21.
Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God.
Now he says, if your heart doesn't condemn you, then you have confidence towards God. So your heart starts condemning you, that's a signal that you are doing something wrong. And you are not doing right thing. That's a signal you will have guilty feeling. So he says, when you start praising God, glorifying God, clean your house, clean your hands, clean your heart, look at heaven, start praising God, then God will look at your face and you will look at God, and then you will feel good and you will not have any fear, because he is living in fear and anxiety. God doesn't give fear. What the 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us a power, love, and sound mind. He is trying to tell him, you don't have the sound mind. You don't have the courage to come to God. But if you come to God, if you start praising God, you will not living in fear. Now the person who is not even godly, he is giving the godly advice to Job. And that is shame, that some unsaved person can come to you and start giving wisdom. We should be the giving wisdom to others, not those people giving us, telling us wisdom. Okay, let's read, go back to book of Job, chapter 11 and verse 16.
Because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away.
He says, when you start doing this, what I told you, to praising God and glorifying God and lifting your heart and hands towards God, then what will happen? You will forget your miserable life and you will not remember what's happening to you. That will be just like a flood came and went away and you don't see the water again. So that's the way it will happen to you. And I say some people have problem or pain or suffering and they dwelling in their pain. What you have to do when you start having sharp pain, lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord and start thanking God and filled with the Holy Spirit. Start speaking in tongue and glorify God. I guarantee you, your pain will disappear. The devil wants to put you in a certain position that you have pain and suffering and God doesn't care and God is not there and things like that. So you think, oh God, where are you? Now I need you. Just thank God. You fell down and you twist your leg and you are mad at God. You should be saying, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that I did not break my bones. I did not hit my head. My head is okay. I did not get hurt on any, fragile parts of my body. Thank you for protecting me. That's the way you should be thanking God. And when you start thanking God, what he says, you will forget your pain. You will forget your misery. Sometimes something happened and you walking on the street and you hit the foot on the stone and you're bleeding and you say, thank you, Jesus. And somebody says, are you crazy? You're bleeding and you got hurt and you're thanking God. I should say, thank you, because this is just the toe. I didn't get hurt on my head. I didn't get more injury. So this is the way to thank God. Even the enemy does something bad to you, God didn't do it. But something bad happened to you, God will bring something good out of it. Because God loves us. Okay, verse 17.
And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning.
Then he says, when you do something like this, then your age, actually age means your life. Your life will be cleaner, joyful, and your life will shine like a noonday. And not only that, and even the morning, it will shine like a early in the morning, beautiful sunshine coming. When it will happen? When we delight in the Lord and love the Lord and follow the Lord. Read the Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
See, delight in the Lord, and he will give the desires of your heart. You want so many things from God, but you are running away from God. You don't have time to pray. You don't have time to thank God. You are going after the worldly people or worldly men or worldly things. And so you don't have peace. You have lots of problems. He said, why don't you delight in the Lord? And what you want, he will give the desires of your heart. Not only that, read the verse 5.
Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday.
See, when you start loving God and following God and praising God and glorifying God, he will take care of you. He will make you happy, joyful, and people are going to see how your life is shining like a noonday. That's why this man is saying, if you start praising God, your age, your life will be cleaner, clearer. People can see what God is doing. It will be like a noonday, or it will be like a early morning sunshine. So praise God and glorify God and give your life to God. That's what he's giving advice to Job. Go back to the Job chapter 11 and verse 18.
And thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee and thou shalt take thy rest in safety.
Now he says, if you do like that, then your life will be secure. You will have hope to live. Because he's always saying, I want to die, I want to die, I want to die. He said, if you live for God, God will protect you. And he says, then you will be living secure and you will have hope. And what you will do, you will dig around you. People say, what is he talking about? In the olden days, when they used to build the towers or government buildings and things like that, they will be putting the all around. They will dig holes like 5-10 feet wide all around, and deep like a 10, 20 feet deep, and then they will pour the water in it. So enemy comes, they will drown first. They cannot do any harm to you. This will happen, you dig around you. Actually, he is talking about do that so enemy will not bother you, and you will be living in safety, you will have rest, and you will have peace. Because the enemy came and destroyed everything, he might be thinking, if you had the hedge around, not only guards, but you should have made your own hedge, so enemy would have been having some more difficulty to destroy. So he said, now, if you do what I'm trying to tell you, you will be living in peace, you will have rest, you will not have fear, and your life will be good. Verse 19.
Also thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid, yea, many shall make suit unto thee.
Now when Job was saying, if you remember, he was listening, this Zophar was listening. He said, I lie down, I cannot sleep. I go to couch, I cannot sleep. So he said, and not only that, when I sleep, I get bad dreams and visions, and I get tormented. This man is listening everything. Now he's saying, if you lie down, you will not have any problem. You won't be afraid. And so you should be happy and joyful and grateful to God. When you lie down, you will not be afraid, and you will not have any problem when you trust in God. You will have peace and joy. And why can't you experience God? That's what he is trying to say, and that's what he...
But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost.
Now, he said the wicked people will have problem, but the wicked people who comes to harass you or give you trouble, they die, they vanish, but you will have no problem. People will come and help you, and you will have blessing, not the pain and suffering. Okay, go back to the Job chapter 12, verse 1.
And Job answered and said, no doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you.
Now he said, no doubt what you're telling me is correct. It can be happened like that. But you people are coming and telling me, that is the problem. You people are thinking you have lots of wisdom, lot of knowledge, and you are smarter than me, and that's why you're coming to tell me your wisdom. But let me tell you, when you die, your wisdom will die with you. That means your wisdom, you are not helping anybody. With your wisdom, later on you will be seeing what the Job is saying about these people. He says your wisdom, your knowledge is not helping anybody. Even though it is not helping me, but you thinking you are very smart, very knowledgeable, and giving me wisdom, but let me tell you, one day will come and you will die, and your wisdom will die with you. Verse 3.
But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these?
He said, you thinking you are smarter than me? I am smarter than you. I know much more and what you know. So he says, I have everything what you know, and I know everything what you have wisdom. I am smarter than you. So they are talking to each other who is doing such a smart things. Verse 4.
I am as one mocked of his neighbor who calleth upon God and he answereth him. The just upright man is laughed to scorn.
He said, what's happening here? You telling me I am mocking God, I am against God, but actually you are my neighbors, you are my friend, you are coming to mock me, and you are coming and answering me, and instead of helping me, you are laughing at me, you are angry at me, and you are making fun of me, and you are destroying me. So you are the cause of my problem. Verse 5.
He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease.
He says, you are the people, when you find somebody in trouble, walking and he's slipping away, instead of helping him, you push him and let him go. So that's the kind of people you are. You coming to help me, you are no help to me. Verse 6.
The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly.
Now he says, you telling me I'm a bad person, because of my sin this thing came to me. Do you think the robbers' houses and the people who are doing wrong thing, their houses are secure, their houses are protected, and God is helping them abundantly? Today you can see the people who are sinners, they are billionaires and millionaires, and they have lots of money. And the people who are godly people, they think we don't have the money like those people. So he's thinking, you thinking that I am bad, and because of that it happened to me. Compare the people who are bad. Compare the people who are not godly. Compare the people who are murderer, killer, and robbers. They're living in safety. They have prosperity. Why are you telling me, because I have the problem, I am ungodly? That's what his argument is. Verse 7.
But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee.
Now he is saying, you are telling me I don't know God. You are telling me I am a sinner. But let me tell you, and you are telling me you don't know the wisdom of God, and you should be searching God and all of these things. You talking to me? Let me tell you, you don't have the wisdom. If you want the wisdom, ask the animal, ask the fish, ask the birds, ask the land, earth, and sea. They will tell you about God. What he's trying to say, you are telling me you know more about God, but let me tell you, the animal knows better than what you know. So he is trying to say, you're not that smart. God created animals, and if somebody says, what animal can teach you? We don't know so many animals. We know only cow or goat or chicken or something. But there are hundreds of kinds of different animals. Each and every animal is different, and God made them. The same way the bird, we may know a couple of birds. Or sparrow or robins, and that's the only bird you know, or blackbird. That's all we know. But there are hundreds and thousands of different kinds of birds. You go to the zoo or go to the museum, and pictures and birds you see. Each bird is made so beautiful. Different kinds of colors and things like that. Then you say, who is the creator? How beautifully God created these birds. So the birds will tell you God's glory. And then he says, you can look at the earth. We know very little bit about earth. People are saying, look at the different kinds of grass. We know only one kind of grass. There are different kinds of grass. There are different kinds of trees. There are different kinds of flowers. There are different kinds of things produced in the earth. America has some fruit. So other countries, they have different fruits. Some of the fruits I saw in India, they are not here. And some of the fruits you see in some other countries, they don't find. But now, by the grace of God, the plane services and things like that, they can bring the fruits and vegetables from different countries. See the flowers. In America, we have flower show once in a year. All the different kinds of flowers from different countries they are bringing. And when you see, I never saw these flowers. I never saw this tree. So what God has done, each and every flower is different. Each and every tree is different. Each and every grass seed is different. Each and every snowflake is different. From that you know how God is great. Then he said, look at the fish in the sea. We see only a couple of fish, couple of kinds of fish. But you go and see in the sea, the people are seeing and exploring the sea, hundreds and thousands of kinds of fishes, and they never saw. Every time they say a new things they are finding out. Other day they found out one frog. The light comes from his chest. And for thousands of years passed, but these people just found out this new frog. They thought maybe it's newly created. God created so many things we are just finding out today. God is a much wiser. So he said, look at the sea, look at the birds, look at the animals, look at the earth, look at the sea, and then they will talk about God. And that's what he's trying to say. Okay, let's read the verse 9.
Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this?
Now he's saying, all of these animals, all of these birds and everything you see, God has created them. But people do not know who did this. So they can speak to you about God. Don't tell me that I don't know God. I know much more these animals and people and you. I know God. I talk to God. I pray to God. I am just having complaint to God. I'm not blaming you. Why are you blaming me? That's the way he's arguing to these people. Verse 10.
In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind.
Now he says, that's the God who holds everyone in his hand. Your breath in the hand of God. So people sometimes they brag about so many things and talk about so many big things. We have to tell them, you are only one breath away. The breath is gone, you are finished. Okay, verse 11.
Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding.
Now here he's saying, he's giving an example. Let me tell you, if you want to hear something, to understand what the person is saying, you have to have ear. You listen. When you listen, then you can advise somebody, or you can understand something. The same way, you want to know the taste of the things, you have to eat it. Looking at it, you would not know. I have seen some people, they like to taste everything. They go to different countries to eat different kinds of meat and different kinds of dishes. Looking at you would not know the taste. So he says, just like to understanding, you need ear. To have a taste, you need mouth. And ancient people, they have wisdom. Means if you are an older person, you got a wisdom. And if you live longer on this earth, then you will have more understanding. This is what example he's giving. But he says to God, he doesn't need all of those things. God doesn't have to hear to understand what you're saying. Before you talk, God knows. He doesn't have to taste something and say, oh, I know what is this salt or this. God doesn't have to eat to find out. And he said, God doesn't have to be old enough to know the knowledge. God doesn't have to be a very wise person to be living on this earth longer time, so he will have more understanding. This is the worldly thing you're talking about. Verse 13.
With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding.
He says, with God, nobody has to teach him. He has the wisdom. He has the power. He has the counseling. He has the understanding. Everything is built in God. He doesn't have to go and learn something from somebody. Our God is so powerful. He says, you telling me, go and search the wisdom? I know God's wisdom. I know God's power. You don't have to tell me to search God's wisdom and God's power. That's what he's answering him. Verse 14.
Behold, he breaketh down and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man and there can be no opening.
He says, God is so powerful, if he destroys something, you cannot build again. Do you know that Nineveh was destroyed? It's not built again. If God destroys something, he said, you cannot build it. And God put somebody in a prison or a hell, nobody can bring him out. Because God is so powerful, nobody can go against God and undo what God has done. Verse 15.
Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also, he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth.
He said, let me tell you how God is powerful. He holds the water, means there is no water, and there is a disaster, means famine. Nothing will grow. Everything will dry out. That's the way God does. And when he sends the water can be so much, everything can be flooded everywhere. We saw that in California. They didn't have water for a long time. And when the water came gushing so much, so many things destroyed with that water. So he said, that's the way God is. So powerful. Okay, verse 16.
With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his.
Now he says, God has the wisdom, God has the strength, God has the power, and the people who are deceiving people, deceiving others, and deceived, he said, all those people are in the God's hand. What God is doing? God is waiting patiently. Doesn't mean God is approving whatever you're doing. He said, they are in his hand. He can destroy them anytime. God, let the people do what they're doing. And people are saying, oh, he's 95 and he did all kinds of things and nothing happened to him. So why should we be worshiping God? The man did all crooked things. He got a lot of money. He got a lot of children. He got a lot of wealth and nothing happened to him. He's a robber. He's a killer. He's destroyed. And so why should we be worshiping God and having problems? He says, wait, the time will come. On this earth, 95 years is nothing. When God is angry, and God will put these people in a hell for eternity and no way out. That's the way God is. So don't look at God and saying, God approves these robbers, God approves this killer, God approves this murderer, and God is not here and he's not watching. God has the record of everything. Okay, verse 17.
He leadeth counselors away spoiled and maketh the judges fools.
He says, all you people doing counseling and giving all the judgment, but your judgment and your counseling sound like a foolish. And some judges and counselors, sometimes they want to talk something, but it will not come out of their mouth. They will be fooled. Verse 18.
He looseth the bond of kings and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty.
Now he's giving several examples. He says what God can do, God can take any king and strip him out. God can take any princes and destroy them. God can take any person who is so smart and giving wisdom, but his wisdom and understanding will go away. Do you know some people are so smart and went to college and become degrees after degrees, but when they get old, sometimes they get senile. They cannot understand. They cannot do anything. So he said, all this wisdom and all this power and all this glory can be gone within a one day. You are a king today, tomorrow you can be beggar. There's nothing impossible with God. All the kings and all the priests and all the wise people are nothing. And all the mighty people will be make weakened. All their military power or a nuclear bomb is nothing in the sight of God. They can be shaken or they can be weakened. Verse 22.
He discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death.
Now see, this is the Job. He was telling, I want to go to darkest place. And I want their darkness. And I don't want any light there. And God, why don't you leave me alone? Now see, he got some kind of click in his mind. When somebody is talking to you about God, and they are fools, they are unbelievers, they are giving you wisdom, then something clicks in your mind. Say, why? I'm not that fool. I know what God can do. I don't want to go to that darkness. Even though I go there, God can pull me out of the darkness. When it will happen? Now, people, few chapters ago, Job was saying, one person dies, will he come back again? And he didn't know. But God can do that. Even the sinners, they die and they said, now it's finished. And they did all kinds of evil things and nobody knows. But God says God will bring them out of darkness one day. When? After the millennium, there will be white throne judgment. And that judgment time, the hell will be giving out the people. And the people who died, those people will come back again and stand before God, and God will judge them. And all their sins will come up to them. So he says the shadow of death or the darkness is just like light to God. He can bring them out of the darkness. He can bring the death out and he can judge the people. God is so powerful. He didn't know what he was saying, but it's going to happen. Verse 23.
He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again.
Now he says, I know God. What he could do, he increased one nation, and they are so powerful, and he can destroy them. What God did? God gave the enemy, Israeli people, in their hand, and they prosper, and then again God destroyed those nations. He said God can do something like that. He can prosper one nation flourishing, and next day he can destroy not one person, but the whole nation can be destroyed. So God is so powerful, not only one man, he can destroy nations and kingdoms, and he can make them nothing. And he can bring somebody out of nothing and make the strong nation. Today, look at the Israeli people. God is the one who is going to take care of Israel. This tiny little country, nobody's helping. Time of the tribulation time. All these other nations, do you saw Africa, how big it is? All African nations, all Chinese nations, all Indians, all Russians, all Saudi Arabians, and all these people are going against this tiny little country. How God is protecting that country, from that itself you should know we should not mess around with Israel. Because that's the God's land. Hear the word of God. Let's go and read that verse 24.
He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way.
He said God can do this. He take the chief person or the leader of the country and make him wandering in the wilderness. Did it happen? Nebuchadnezzar, very proud man. And he said, I did all of these things. God said, okay, I'll make you go out of this country, means out of your kingdom, go outside, be like an animal, stay there until your brain says, I am the one. So what the word of God is saying, God can do this. All the great people or the great king, they will wander in the wilderness and they will looking in the dark. They would not know where to go. It happened to Israeli people too. They're in the wilderness and they don't know where to go. And they're round and round and round and round. 40 years running around and looking the way. Could not find. Let's read the verse 25.
They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man.
Who are they? The people who are going against God. God can make them mad. God can make them blind. God can make them drunken men. And they will be walking around looking for a road. They will not find it. And not they will be able to walk properly. They will be walking like a drunken man. The word of God says in the last days, in the final war, when these enemies come against Israel, he will make them to drink, means wine. And they will be drunken men. And they will be going after the Israeli people. And they will be like a blinded. God will make them blind. God will make their horses blind. And they will be dying on the field. And thousands of enemies will be dying. I was thinking how God is so powerful. Tiny little country I could not see in the map. comparing to look at the Australia or look at the Brazil or look at the North America or South America and look at this Muslim country. So big, big countries. Israel is tiny little country. But God is taking care. He says, I can do these things. All your enemies, I can make them blind. I can make them wander. I can pull the king from the throne. I can let him go to the wilderness and eat grass. He can do anything. So the Job is trying to tell his friends, don't tell me about God. I know how God is powerful. And read the chapter 13, couple of verses. We'll come back to that later. But here Job is saying in Job chapter 13, he says, I know these things. He studied the history. Please read.
Lo, mine eye hath seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you.
See, he says, don't teach me. I know everything. I know the history. I know what God has done to other people and other nations. God is so powerful. Do not teach me. I am not that dumb. I am not that fool you thinking. And you are trying to trash me and trying to make me more miserable. You should be coming and comforting me, but you are not comforting. You are harassing me. That's what the Job is saying. So Job, in this chapter, he got lots of grace of God and wisdom of God. Up to now, he was talking so much negative, but now he's inspired by God to tell these people how much Job knows about God. Sometimes you know so much about God, but what happens when you get depressed? You don't talk about God. You talk about your pain. You talk about your suffering. And what God did before, he might have healed you before, you forget that. And now you're complaining about what you have problem. Just like Job. Sometimes we have to forget the pain and think about God. And then God's wisdom, God's power, God's grace will strengthen us. And he will tell us what you're going through, looking into Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to understand the word of God. There are people dying without God and without Christ. All these things you have created in this world. But instead of worshiping God, they are worshiping the things of God, the creation of God. And blaming God and going away from God. The time is coming. You are going to judge all the people who are against you and who are against your nation. Lord Jesus, give us grace to follow you, to love you, to understand you better, and give up the sinful life and thank God and glorify God what God has already done. Give us grace to live a clean and holy life, and let our life shine and let somebody see Jesus in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Please be seated.